5 seconds. 4, 3, 2. Log Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. You may access Liberty Talk Radio through our website at libertytalkradio.com or through the Blog Talk Radio platform. Just dial or type in blogtalkradio.com/libertytalkradio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, April 12th, at 6:31 a.m. Central Time. This station is your antidote to popular talk radio, where you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Rio de Janeiro, Berlin, or Stalingrad. It's time for us, folks, to take back control of our government now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, you may call area code 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments on the air. I have to admit, I missed a couple of calls last broadcast. I got so involved that I was at the studio all by myself. No one was watching over my shoulder, and as a result, I lost a call last week, and I apologize for that. At any other time, when we're not broadcasting, when we're off the air, you can call 903-551-2186, and you can leave a voice message. But of course, you can send us email at any time at comments@libertytalkradio.com. We also have an AIM account, and that AIM account address is STB Internet Radio, and you can leave an instant message and we'll respond back to you. If we have an opportunity, well, we'll respond to you verbally over the air if we can read it while we're broadcasting, okay? And that's STB, and the STB actually stands for Starve the Beast Network. That's the way it started a couple of years ago. I had a website, Star of the Beast Network, when I was running for office, and we kept that for a while, and then we converted it over to Liberty Talk Radio. Sounds a lot more professional, don't you think so? Okay. I think these are very interesting times and very disconcerting times. 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, or even 20 years ago, if someone would have suggested that I had a radio program in which I would be broadcasting around the world over the internet, I would have thought that person was one of those futurists and a real nutcake. I think I just have a message here. I don't think I do. Excuse me. Okay, let me click that off. I have three screens I have to watch, and I'm the only one in the studio this morning. No one will get up that early to stay with me. but it's really interesting. So we have methods of communications today that were literally unthinkable 20 to 30 years ago. Even if we were Star Trekkers, you know, Trekkies, we would have not have even perceived that we were doing something like this, at least not the, quote, common person would have the opportunity to do so. You would have to work your way up through one of the major networks and compete against people who were highly talented and sometimes very influential in the business. Your probability of getting on the air was very slim. And here we are today, and it doesn't really take much. Now, I liken this somewhat to people who want to be an artist, and you just give them a piece of paper and a pencil, and they say, poof, you're an artist. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. You have to know how to draw. So it's the same thing here. We have the techniques. We have the technology. We have the equipment and all that stuff and the wherewithal to broadcast, but then we have to have something to say. And hopefully this program fulfills that mission. Obviously, this is a libertarian program. And what we're talking about is your liberty. Everything that we talk about comes back, is related to your liberties and your freedom. And I like to say rights, but rights are granted. And no one grants us rights. The government doesn't grant us rights, and they shouldn't. Our rights are inalienable, just like our Constitution says. So during this broadcast, if you're listening, and especially if you're listening from the beginning, please understand that everything that I talk about relates back to your liberty and your freedom. And there's always a connection, by the way. So I'm really pleased to be here, and I find it almost intoxicating, the fact that I can broadcast from my studio here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world, and I mean that. Now, that's the exciting part. The disconcerting part is that I don't think we're any wiser. I don't think we're any smarter. In fact, I think we're regressing. And I say that not to be critical or condescending or even make an elitist comment. But I find myself jammed every day reading. Now, I have to admit that I was near a high school dropout. I was thrown out of school a couple of times. I was not a good student at all. My parents had to put up with me. I'm one of those guys who finally got his act together in the last 2 years of college, when I decided, well, it's party time is over, and got my act together. And I've done relatively, I should say I've done relatively well. I had to work very, very hard, much, much too hard. Now, I'm not looking for sympathy. I want to explain something to you. But with that came a tremendous cost. And that cost is that I am a horrible reader. Now, many people disagree with me, but I still consider myself a horrible reader. Now, why am I telling you all this to bore you? And I hope that 6:30 in the morning, I'm not boring you to death with this. But my point being is that there is so much that I need to know and so much I need to read. I constantly have 5 magazines which of articles that I just have to get to. I'm usually in 2 books. And if I was an efficient reader, I could probably get through all that material that I need to get through, and I don't. And I'm always very, very frustrated because of that. In other words, I'm paying the price right now for being basically an illiterate teenager. I had a great time as a teenager. I was sang doo-wop in the 50s in the street corners of New York. I'm one of the few doo-woppers who are probably still alive. I'll be 64 years old, April 23rd. And so I'm getting on in years. I still do the same things that I did when I was young, you know, hopefully a little bit more responsibly. All right, now here's my point of all that gibberish. When I speak to people today, it astounds me that their thinking is no better off or worse off or more pedestrian than you would expect people who were highly uneducated and highly isolated from what is going on. And I'm going to give you an example of that. By the way, this morning's going to be a 30-minute broadcast. We are already almost 10 minutes into our broadcast, so I've got to watch my time very carefully. And I am going to watch for the telephones this time. I'm sorry I missed them last time. I gave a speech very recently, meaning yesterday, at noon. And the subject of the speech was the conflict in Iraq clarified. Because I did want to clarify some points to the audience and see if I can get them to think. I wasn't really sure how to attack this subject. So what I decided to do, and this was at the last minute, I decided to cut up little pieces of paper and hand them out to the audience, which took some time, and ask them in 8 words or less, tell me why we are in Iraq. And I said, don't cheat, don't discuss it, just whatever's on the top of your head, just write down. There's no wrong or right answer. You're not going to get criticized, and we will let you leave here without paying a healthy sum. And they enjoyed that, and they all did comment. what was, and then I asked everyone to go around the room very quickly and just read, because we didn't have much time. So I said, just read what you wrote. Now, I suspected that there would be some diverse opinion as to the reasons why we were there. Folks, I was absolutely astounded that very few people were in agreement or said basically the same thing. What I did ask them to do at the end of the speech, I said, would you please leave your comments for me on your table or hand them in? I'd like to make that a subject of my next radio broadcast. And this is what I'm doing now. Now, I only have about five or six of them. Not everyone handed them in, obviously. I think they were somewhat embarrassed because everyone assumed they knew why we were there. Also, and I want to touch on the subject next Thursday, and I really want to get into this because this is at the heart of our problem. And that is, people spoke from a belief system. You know, they believe the United States is a good country, is a democracy, and as a result, our intentions are honorable. So we can, in fact, invade another country, you know, to protect the resources there. So obviously, we can use them to foster more good around the world. You know, the ends justify the means. Basically, that's what they were saying in many cases. I'm going to read to you maybe just four or five comments just to illustrate the diversity, and then I want to comment on each one of them. The first one, this gal said, she had a wonderful handwriting. She had an artistic handwriting. To bring democracy and social justice to the country, improving the lives, especially of women. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if that's why we were there? If we were there for that reason, would we not be in nearly every country around the world? Oh, by which we are, by the way. But wouldn't we be in a conflict, armed conflict around the world? You see, other than the United States and a select few countries, the general masses of the world live in abject misery. Of the 6-point-something billion people in the world today, over 2 billion have never had a clean glass of water. Nearly a third. That's an estimate. Most people have no hope of ever attaining any sense of wealth. And when I say wealth, I'm not talking millionaire. I'm talking about having more money than they need just to scrape by. A majority of the population will nearly make enough money to eat and shelter themselves in housing you and I would not think of living in. The world is replete in misery for the masses. Now, so if we were there for social justice and to improve the lives, especially of women, which is a problem worldwide, especially for women, we would need an army of maybe 1 billion people. See that? Now, this is her belief system. Wonderful gal. And wonderful comment. Totally wrong. Here's one. One person, I think, hit it more on the money. And a couple of people had mentioned this, although this is the only one I received back from him in paper. He had religion, money, big oil. Right on. Now, religion, I would discount, by the way. Religion is an excuse. You know, the religious factor is simply something that can muster up the emotions of the masses so we can continue to justify our presence there. Because, you know, those radical Islamic fascist, etc. And if we're not there, they'll kill everybody, blah, 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 blah. You know, although every religion has killed the masses before to further their religion, but we don't talk about that. So really, that's just a mask. Money and big oil, we're going to get back to that. The answer is you bet. In fact, I ended the speech by saying, if you ever want to know why we're ever in any armed conflict, it gets quite easy once you shed your belief systems and you just follow the money. And that's exactly the way I ended the speech. All right, here's another one. It says, currently to liberate the economy and people of Iraq, be a democracy in the Middle East. Yes, we talked about that. Here we are. Another one, it said, Middle East stability point. And I guess what they meant by that is that we wanted to make sure that we have stability there. So the assumption is that we have a continued source of supply. And two people said this. I only received one paper back, but it says President Bush wanted to fulfill his father's unfinished destiny, his father's business. You know, sounds good. That's the stuff Hollywood is made of. But this is not reality. Now, here's our problem, is that we all have belief systems, every one of us. I tell my friends I don't believe in anything. And I really try to abide by that. Now, I know it sounds cruel, sounds very, very cruel. I don't believe in anything. And a friend of mine, one time, we were biking and we stopped for lunch and we were talking about this. And he got very upset at me and he said, well, I guess you don't believe your wife loves you, do you? And I said, no, I do not. He said, how could you say that? I said, because if I believed that she loved me, right, I would probably leave her. And it confounded him. Now, I am crazy about my wife, absolutely crazy about my wife, and you can ask her, and she'll tell you that I'm crazy about her, okay? And I said, you see, when we believe, we are saying, I really don't know, but I wish it to be so. When you believe, you don't know. You can't know, because you're believing. If you knew, you wouldn't believe, you would know. So if I said I believed that my wife loved me, I would be saying, I really don't know if she loves me, but I hope she does. Oh, I wish it to be so. I couldn't be married to her under those circumstances. I'd have to really know that she loves me. And not because she says so, but she says so in the way she acts in her behavior. Right? So let's shed belief systems. So belief systems really don't play any part in policy. But once we do, we find that the belief systems are those things that are espoused by the bureaucrats, by the government, and as a shadow, you know, to cloak all of the real reasons why we're there. Now, let me give you a better explanation as to why we are in the Middle East. It has absolutely nothing to do with Saddam Hussein. Absolutely nothing. We put him in office many years ago, we put him in power, and allowed him to commit genocide in his own country for the sake of stability, by the way. So that answers one question. For stability in the Middle East? Yes, if you wanted stability in the Middle East, we would have kept Saddam Hussein there. Now, we took him out because he became very disobedient. He stopped obeying us. And once people's dictators that we place into office, into power, and we've done this 100 times over, once they become disobedient, we come down on them really hard. And that's what we did to Saddam Hussein, all right? So it's not for that reason. We didn't go there because of the people and the democracy, because we don't care. We are supporting one of the most repressive regimes in the world. And we have one of our largest bases there, and that's Saudi Arabia. In fact, most of the people who were involved in the attack on 9/11 were Saudis. And we support the House of Saud. In fact, President Bush Sr. actually has business dealings with the House of Saud through the Carlyle Group, which is a worldwide construction company, and they are sort of business partners. And you can look that up. This is not conspiracy crap. Okay? All right, so it's not for that reason. Right? And as far as ensuring the health of the people, you know, if we were really interested in that, we would probably have all our troops in Africa. I mean, Africa is in horrible, horrible shape today. There are despots there that are just committing genocide, saber-rattling at the expense of all of the people that live there. Now, what is a real reason? Well, if we start shedding, and because we're good, that's fine. You know, one gal said something very interesting, one woman. She was really a neat gal, but she really surprised me. She said, well, we should be over there too, you know, because there's oil, and we're doing some good, and we're stabilizing the region, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's okay for us to be there. And I responded to her. I said, now, do you really believe that? She says, yes, I do. Now, maybe we're talking about belief system. You really? I said, okay, if you believe that, then you have to believe the reverse. You always have to believe in the mirror image of what you believe to make it a valid belief. And she said, what would that be? I said, let's assume for a second that Iraq needed some elements that we had here. Let's say our forest, wood, or copper, or whatever else we have here that's in abundance. And to ensure that they had a continued supply of that commodity, right, they brought their troops here, occupied the area or areas where we had, you know, forest or wood, whatever, you know, copper, and militarily took over that area, right, to ensure their supply, then that would be okay. And she looked at me and she was absolutely dumbfounded. She didn't know, she couldn't answer. She said, well, she didn't even say no. She said, well, I said, now, if that was the case, you think would you be upset? She says, well, of course I would be upset. You see, folks, we don't look at this from a rational point of view. We look at it from a point of view that is tainted by all the propaganda that we are exposed to on a daily basis. And it formulates our opinion of what we do and what we can do and what we should do. And it decimates the Constitution. And when I say and the rights of people around the world for our own self-gratification, because I want to ride around in an SUV that gets 12 miles to the gallon, we're going to keep our troops in Iraq to ensure that we get the oil. Enough said. Isn't that a very selfish, cruel way of looking at things? People consider me cruel because I don't have all this fluffy belief system, but I think that's horrible. I say bring all of our troops home and sell your SUV. Let the price of oil go wherever the market will bear, whatever the market will bear. You know, it'll settle down to where it is now, maybe even lower, because there won't be so much tension in the world without us poking our finger in everyone else's eyes. All right, now, here's a reason why I think that we are in Iraq, right? All right, hold on to your seats. This is only speculation on my part, but I think this has a much more real has more real content to it. Well, let me see if I read everything here. I read the comments that I did have. It has nothing to do with the revenge and all that other stuff. Right now, we are creating the illusion of stability in the Middle East through our presence, military presence. That's the bases that we have in the Middle East. We have bases all around the Middle East. Do you know we have now military bases in the former Soviet Union? One has just been closed, by the way, and I forgot which one, Kyrgyzstan, I think it was. We have them surrounded. And now the Middle East is surrounded by U.S. air bases. We were thrown out of Turkey. We left Turkey as a result of the Cuban, as to satisfy the Russians in negotiations for them to retreat from Cuba during the Cuban Missile Crisis during Kennedy's era. And we decided to take our bases out of there. And I don't think we've ever returned there, but I'm not certain. But we have bases in every other country except for Syria. Obviously, we don't need bases in Israel. Israel is a 51st state of the United States. And you can criticize me for that, but that's a fact. That's the way we operate with Israel, which I think is very wrong. Right? Now, here it is. I just know that we are losing our grip in Saudi Arabia. We have a big base there, and we support a very repressive regime, the House of Saud. We are losing our grip in Saudi Arabia. The underlying tensions in that country are mounting. And in order for us to maintain control of the oil that we need here in the United States is going to require a contingency plan. And that contingency plan is the second largest oil reserve country, and that is Iraq. So we are in Saudi Arabia, and we basically are propping up the regime of the House of Saud. And without us, if we left there tomorrow, it would be total chaos. There will be a fundamentalist regime there. Within 24 hours, all the oil would be shut off, at least for a short period of time, because they need our toilet paper more than we need their oil. There's plenty of oil in this world, at least now. So now we're in Iraq to ensure that we keep our supplies. Now, our supplies for what? For the people of the United States? No, no, no. The government doesn't care about us. No, but the money people don't care about us, don't care about nationality. They care about who gets the oil. And whoever gets the oil are those countries and militaries that need the oil, that borrow the money, that own the money in each country. And I know it's complicated, but the people behind the government, the money people behind the government that are controlled economies, those people who lend the billions of dollars, who have the interest payments coming in, they're the ones that are concerned. They're the ones that are placing pressure as to where our military goes, who controls what, and what goes where. And they don't want to see that disrupted because that means their interest payments are not made. That means countries may default because regimes that we are propping up now default. See, we don't care about the people. We care about the stability of the country, of the currency of that country, so they can continue to make their payments, either in money or in resources. And that's all it's about. You have to follow the money. Now, we will never get out of Iraq because of that. We will never get out of Iraq, never, 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 unless we are thrown out through a revolution similar to Iran. Now, what bothers me is I may be wrong, but it's a more rational approach. But I'll bet I'm not wrong, because all the indications are that's the reason why we're there. And every war that the United States has ever fought in, everyone, including World War II, has all been a false flag. Everyone was a false flag, including Pearl Harbor, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, we've learned that very recently in the past 6 years, that the attack on Pearl Harbor was actually prompted and motivated by our own government. Japan was forced to attack us there because we shut off all of their oil supply, and if they didn't, they would never be able to continue their expansion in the Far East. And they knew it, and we knew it, and we knew they would attack. We knew the day they were going to attack. Every single one. But we are led to believe, again, believe, that we are doing something right and the enemy is wrong. I think, to wrap up, ladies and gentlemen, we have truly met the enemy. And the enemy is us. Anyway, I think we have just a couple of more minutes. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up. This Sunday evening, I'm going to have as a guest Amanda Teagarden, and she is going to talk about the Texas Corridor, about the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, and it should be very interesting. She's coming to our studio. It'll be a live interview for 1 hour. This will be Sunday evening at 8:30, so please join us. Next Thursday, we're going to talk about belief systems and how it affects our culture and how it affects our decisions and how it affects our politics. Please stay tuned. So Sunday evening at 8:30 p.m. and next Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. I'm going to play our bumper song now and sign off before I get signed off. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening in. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Our off-the-air phone number is area code 903-551-2186. Let us hear from you. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.